You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 100.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Glad to be back. That was a clip called Too Long by Yael Naim. Now, if she sounds familiar, she's the acclaimed singer-songwriter from Israel, now living in France. She gained some fame when her song New Soul played during the Apple MacBook Air ad campaign a couple of years ago. She has such a sweet voice, I think you'll like it, so stay tuned for the full song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I post the links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Today I'll be interviewing Courtney Pegler. She's the Vice President of Strategic and Business Development at TaskStream. We'll be talking about her two major tools for higher education. Educators and students use their Learning Achievement Tools, or LAT, to plan learning activities, assess student performance, and demonstrate achievement of learning outcomes. Institutions use the Customizable Accountability Management System, or AMS, to support continuous improvement projects and manage accountability processes at a macro level. We'll expand on these definitions, and we'll also ask the questions, what is the difference between an institution-centered and a student-centered e-portfolio? How do these products integrate with the LMS? What are the advantages and return on investment for your institution using these products? So without further ado, here's my interview with Courtney. Courtney, thank you very much for agreeing to talk to me and speak to my audience today. As I've already mentioned to my audience, I want to learn a lot more about TaskStream and what it is you do. And I've had recent podcasts talking about ePortfolio, so it's been in my mind lately. And I know the University of the Sciences is looking at various vendors. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and your company and what your main products are?
Sure. Great. And thank you very much, Rod, for this opportunity. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you. As I mentioned, I'm a fan of your podcast. So myself personally, I have a background in educational technology. Prior to joining TaskStream, I pursued a master's in educational communication and technology after working in business for a few years. And with that degree, I did instructional e-learning instructional design for a little while. I also did work at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning at the Stern School of Business at NYU for a little while, and that was, you know, providing faculty support for Blackboard and applications like that, as well as looking at other technologies, emerging technologies to use for supporting teaching and learning at the institution. At TaskStream, we are a company that is really focused on supporting and streamlining assessment processes at institutions of higher education. We work primarily in higher education, although we do also have some business in the K-12 market as well. We offer two different platforms currently. We started out with our Learning Achievement Tools, or LAT. And that is a platform that includes e-portfolios, and that's both from a e-portfolio as a learning tool and, you know, personal student-owned portfolios or faculty-owned portfolios, as well as, you know, what some call institutional-owned portfolios or assessment portfolios for collecting and assessing direct evidence from learners on their, you know, and assessing their achievement of student learning outcomes. We also offer a platform called the Accountability Management System, or AMS, and that is typically used across an institution to manage assessment or planning processes. So it provides you with a means to collect data and documentation from various academic and non-academic programs across the institution. You know, programs and departments can specify learning outcomes, develop curriculum maps, create assessment plans to indicate the outcomes that they plan to assess on a given cycle and the measures that they will use. They have a place to document their findings and close the loop on the assessment with action plans for improvement based upon those findings.
One thing that you said that intrigues me is you talk about student-owned. Now, is that literally student-owned? Because I know in one of my recent podcasts with Trent Batson, we talked about e-portfolios for students where it actually follows them once they leave the institution. Is that possible with your product?
It is possible with our product. And actually, yeah, my referencing those terms were coming out of a conversation that I also had with Trent. I recently did a webinar with his ABLE organization. Yes, the portfolios can move with students beyond their time at an institution. So a student can retain an individual subscription to TaskStream in order to continue maintaining their portfolio through the use of TaskStream's tools. They also have options for saving those portfolios, you know, if they maybe they don't want to continue to edit them in TaskStream, but they still want access to those portfolios, they can also download those and have access to them in a, you know, non-proprietary format, basically HTML. After they leave the institution.
Some of our faculty may not really understand the use of e-portfolios. Can you just give an example of what might be collected in an e-portfolio for a student?
Sure. One of the nice things about portfolios is that they support such a wide range of activities and things that you can collect from students. We see cases ranging from, you know, on the student-directed side, you can have a student who creates a showcase of their learning and their achievements over time. And, you know, they may put in papers that they've written or upload videos that they've produced or share out reflections or, you know, journals of activities that they've done and provide those as evidence of their learning or their achievements over time. We also, you know, we work with institutions that use portfolios for assessing student outcomes and you know, some as a means for data collection. And that can range from, you know, a school of education that wants to have their teacher candidates submit evidence of their teaching practice, you know, lesson plans and the assessment measures that they plan to use, maybe artifacts from students from teaching, student teaching experiences. We also have institutions that use portfolios for general education assessment. And that can range from, you know, collecting common assignments across different courses throughout an institution, or you could leave it to a student to decide, you know, this paper or this project or, you know, this artifact that I created demonstrates my critical thinking abilities, for example. So like I said, you know, one of the real strengths, the real powers of an e-portfolio is that you're not limited to a certain type of file or a certain type of information to upload. It can range, you know, the full spectrum, any type of digital file or evidence or even data points, you know, exam scores or things like that can be incorporated or survey responses, you know, things like that.
I know I remind our faculty that who are currently teaching on Blackboard that in essence we do have a student-centered e-portfolio, but it's by virtue of having the Blackboard content collection. But it seems to be very primitive and really just a container for putting content. There's no real linkage into anything else on an institutional level. How does your LAT product differ from just having a container? Give me some idea of what control the institution has or the instructor has over requiring certain kinds of information and getting, you know, sort of closing the loop with the student.
Right. Yeah. LAT, where LAT really shines is really in the workflow management kind of aspect, or, you know, process management associated with using portfolios. So as you said, it's not just a collection of artifacts. You know, it's not just kind of a file folder of documents from students. What you can actually do is within LAT, the faculty or administrators can scaffold a portfolio, construct a portfolio and say, okay, you know, these are the signature assignments, the critical tasks, the key evidence or artifacts that we want to collect from students. And you can set that up in a structure for your students. You can provide very clear guidelines to students about what is expected of them, you know, what they should submit associated with this requirement or this section of their portfolio. You can also associate an evaluation method with sections of the portfolio or these requirements within a portfolio. So you can say, okay, we'd like to use a common rubric to assess this artifact that we're collecting from students. And you set that up in advance, and you can make that transparent to the student. So the student can see the directions for the assignment as well as the rubric that's going to be used to assess that. And then you can manage that whole workflow. So the students can go in, they can upload their work, you know, submit documents, send that to their instructor or faculty member or evaluator who is responsible for evaluating that work. That individual can view the student's work and evaluate it within the system using a rubric. And then as a result of that, sort of, you know, those interactions, those transactions between the student and the portfolio and the faculty member, you now have data that you can report on, and you can look at individual level data as well as aggregate data. So that's where you start to see the benefits or the value for a, you know, program improvement perspective.
How important is it for a student-oriented portfolio like this to be integrated with an LMS? Is it absolutely required? And I guess what is the advantage or disadvantage of having integration with the LMS?
Sure. You know, I don't know if it's absolutely required. I think that it really is more dependent on the institution and the institution's use of both platforms. We do offer ways to integrate with Blackboard, for example. I think that the value of that is if students are actively engaged in using their LMS, and they, you know, sometimes students might have issues with using multiple platforms. And so obviously the more that you can support integration between those. So, you know, at the very least, a single sign-on or a silent authentication between the two is something that we offer. But then also being able to pull from artifacts or, you know, assignments, things that they've uploaded through their Blackboard or their learning management system into a portfolio in TaskStream is another capability. So they're not having to re-upload and do things like that.
The ease of use is important there. Is it as simply a matter of installing a Blackboard building block to enable that integration?
Exactly, yeah. We have a building block or a power link for different versions of Blackboard. But yeah, that is something that we offer for those types of capabilities.
Why don't we move on to the AMS system? Now that I have a picture of what your student-centered e-portfolio system can do, how would you explain to faculty, or I guess you would be really explaining to the administration, you know, the value of a institutional oriented e-portfolio. What's the value that adds?
Sure. I mean, what a lot of our clients to us about, or the value that they see in this is, you know, typically associated with assessment processes across an institution. You know, you have maybe your Office of Institutional Effectiveness or Institutional Research is trying to get a sense of where every program and department is in their assessment process. You know, we have to prepare for our middle states visit, or, you know, appropriate accreditation body is. And we have to pull from across all of our programs and show that they've defined learning outcomes and that they're assessing those outcomes and that they are using the data for improvement. And when you're doing that without a system like AMS, you know, often it's documents going through email or on shared servers, maybe Google Docs, you know, all of these different locations. And it becomes very difficult to manage the process. And so you spend more time, you know, trying to gather, you know, wrangle the documents and get all of these things together. And you don't have the time to spend on really providing feedback or, you know, gauging the quality of the work that's being done or being engaged in more meaningful activities associated with the assessment. And so that's really, I think, the core value of a system like the accountability management system is that it frees up that time so that you're not chasing documents around or trying to make sure that people are doing tasks, and you're focusing more on the quality of the work and, you know, helping to engage your community in the process. And lots of institutions make it so that it's transparent so that programs and departments can see what others are doing with their assessment activities and learn from each other and collaborate. And so it in that way really helps you to create more of a culture of assessment and continuous improvement.
We have several different professional degrees. We have pharmacy, of course, and occupational therapy, physical therapy, and all the different professional organizations have different accreditation requirements. Are there templates that somehow help guide those processes within the AMS?
Yes, there are. And so you can support multiple processes. So you might have things going at the same time. You might have your, you know, the work that's happening at the institution, across the institution, like I said, for a regional accreditation. And then within pharmacy or nursing or, you know, these certain areas, you might have other processes that you're managing associated with their specialized accreditation. We have starting templates for managing those types of processes, but you also can build or adapt those to have really customized templates for collecting information from those programs and departments to make sure that you're getting the right information in the format that you want.
What is the process like? I guess, how long does it take in a typical implementation?
It really varies so much by institution, by how prepared the institution is for the work. In terms of the actual technical setup in the system, things can be set up very quickly. You know, you could have, if you gave me what it was that you were collecting from either your students or your faculty and maybe had some measures associated with that, I could set that type of thing up for you to show you that in, you know, a matter of hours. Where the work really comes in is in thinking through the customization options and, you know, the different features that you have available to you to support your processes. The system is highly customizable. Both platforms are highly customizable, and we work with, you know, hundreds of institutions to set that up. And so, again, it's really dependent on the clarity of the process and the goals at the institution, but then we will work hand in hand with you to set that up. So one of the strengths or one of the value propositions that we really offer is the support that we provide in this process. We have what we call our mentoring services department that works hand in hand with you to go through that process. So they'll help you to customize the system and set up your templates and, you know, provide the appropriate permissions to individuals throughout your institution and help you understand the implications of decisions that you're making as you are customizing the system for your needs.
Can you give us any, you know, for an institution our size, about 3,000 students, you know, or a private institution, would this, for AMS, would this take 3 months, 6 months, a year to get rolling?
You know, I would say that it could take as quickly as a week, and it could take as long as, 6 months. I would guess that probably the middle of that range, my guess is probably an average implementation is maybe 3 months or less. But again, that's really because of the process at the institution and not the technical piece of it.
My guess would be that setting up LAT is probably a little bit, takes a little bit less time. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. But, you know, again, with both of these, it's so dependent on where you are in your thinking and what you're trying to do.
Have you seen your clients implement both of these systems at the same time, or what's sort of your best practice if we were to move forward with something like this? I guess it depends on institutional priorities, but is there a best way to do this? And it seems like doing both at the same time might be a little bit daunting.
Right, right. We definitely have had institutions that decide to implement both at the same time and sort of recognize that that is a little bit ambitious, but depending on their capacity and their priorities, that's something that makes sense for them. And we've had implementations or institutions do that very successfully. Probably is most effective if you're really focusing on one platform at a time and really, thinking through and going through that setup. But yeah, it again, depends on the institutional priorities and resources. And I think that you can be effective, either implementing sequentially or simultaneously. More often, I think that when institutions are adopting both at the same time, they might be thinking about maybe smaller scale uses of the LAT while they're implementing AMS. So they might start out with courses or a couple programs or, something like that in LAT and focus across the institution in AMS and then gradually build up to more programs as they go with LAT.
Well, I think we're almost out of time. Is there anything that you would care to add? Anything new? Anything in your pipeline that you're excited about you want to share with us?
Sure. I mean, as I said, we have... I think I mentioned that we've been in this business for over a decade, over 12 years, actually. I think we were officially founded in 2000 as a company and have really focused on evolving our tools to meet the needs of our clients. So, we work with over 500 institutions that have varying needs. And that's where this, customization and these types of capabilities have come from, is meeting the nuances of those processes at those institutions. This summer, I believe we have a upgrade coming with improving our support for video. We are continually enhancing that and offering new integration capabilities as well for working with other systems on campus.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Courtney, for taking some time and talking with me today.
Great. Thank you so much, Rod. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
I hope you learned more about the advantages of the two types of e-portfolios offered by TaskStream. So don't forget to see the links on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. I also look forward to hearing your feedback. Stay tuned for the song by Yael Naim. Until next time, have a great week.
For so long outside myself, you see, I was pretending to be someone else. I was longing to see who I wanted to be. And I've been waiting on my own. I've been waiting for too long, not strong.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.